Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 9. Now, there's no verses on there because we're reading the whole chapter. And I told y'all that we were going to be reading a lot of verses the past couple of weeks. But then also, like we read fewer verses last week than these 41 that are in chapter 9. And I got tired of hearing my own voice read. So I don't know how y'all did it last week, and I don't want to test fate again to see if anybody falls asleep or anything like that. So we're going to do something a little different, I think. We'd give it a try. We're just going to read and preach at the same time. Does that make sense? Instead of just reading the verses and then doing the talking about it part, we will read and then pause and do the talking about part and then continue on in the story. Okay? Does that sound like a plan? We can change everything last minute now, and I can just read the whole thing if you want me to. I'd rather not do that. Okay, good. It's almost like a build-your-own sermon, like a find-your-own book ending, but it'll be all right. So the thing to keep in mind of why this is a thing is that John, the Gospel of John, is different than the other synoptic Gospels, right? John is different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is a very active guy. They're describing Jesus' life and events and things that happen, healings and miracles. And Jesus does a lot of talking, but they're in sermons. He's up on the mountain preaching. He's out on the field preaching. And John sets the story of Jesus' life up a little differently. Instead of having events that are described, John has Jesus in much more conversation with people. Right? We talked about this with Nicodemus, where when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, they have this whole long conversation back and forth, and Jesus ends up speaking for a long time. The Samaritan woman at the well, conversation back and forth. It's not just a healing. It's not just something else. So this is an event. This is a Jesus healing the blind man, and then all the conversations that come along with that between the Pharisees and everybody. It's a two-part story, so we're going to set the stage with sort of the what's happenings, and then we've got the rub around verse 13 through 16, and then sort of the fallout from that story, okay? So that's what we're dealing with. So as Jesus walked along, and he's back in Galilee, okay? So he's back in his own home people. He's not out with those Samaritans, those foreigners, or whatever. He's back with his own people in Galilee. And as he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And what do you think about that question? Who sinned that he was born blind? We want to know who to blame, right? Something's gone wrong. We want to know who to point the finger at. We want to know who we can be upset with. Is it this man that we should be upset with? Punish him, perhaps? Maybe being blind isn't punishment enough. We would punish him. Or was it his parents? If it's his parents, we'll give him a little bit of a break. You can't choose your genes, right? If it's his parents, that's all right. We want to know who to blame. The disciples, these good disciples, looking for someone to point their finger at and to blame. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born? Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him." So we're three verses in, and I'm already ready to argue with Jesus. This is different theology than I have, and I've told you I've got the audacity to disagree with Jesus before. You guys know that. He's not blind because he sinned. It's no one's fault, Jesus says, but God made him blind so that I can prove a point to you guys. I don't like that part either. You know what I mean? Later on, when Jesus is talking with Lazarus, not talking with him because he's sick and he's going to die, Jesus gets news that Lazarus is very sick and they need to come so that Jesus can heal him. And Jesus says, "Well, maybe tomorrow or the day after." And Jesus stays a little bit longer where they're at, and finally they get news that Lazarus has died, and when they get there, his sisters tell him, if you had just been here earlier, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, we had to do it this way so that you all, your faith would be strengthened. It gives me the ick, as the kids say. I don't like that. It feels icky. God has made this man blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. I don't know. Breaking something just so that you can prove that you can fix it? It feels weird. But it's in the scripture. I don't want to get hung up on that. I'm sorry if you do, but we'll keep moving. We must work the works of God who sent me while it is day. This is Jesus talking. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes. If I wasn't feeling icky before, I am now. It's not a COVID thing. COVID's ruined me. Spitting on people's eyeballs. Oh, okay. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. What a beautiful miracle. Jesus starts off by saying, you got to work when the light is out. Make hay when the sun's shining. Is that it? Do the work while the light is out. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. One of these days I'm not going to be here. We won't be able to do these miracles. So he sends this man out, literally. He tells him to go to the place which meant sent. He sends him out. Does a ceremony with the mud and the spit and the dirt and rubs it on his eyes, and he sends him out. Go find healing. And the man goes out and comes back apparently able to see. But then the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it's someone like him. And the man kept saying, I am the man. But they kept saying to him, then how are your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. Has that ever happened to you? You're sent out, mission, you have this encounter with God, something changes with you when you meet Jesus, when you follow Jesus' words and orders and are sent out. And then when you come back, something is so changed that the people around you don't recognize you anymore. Has that happened? Have you ever experienced that? I've told you all my story of growing up in the church. I didn't have this burning bush coming to Jesus moment. It was always that slow burn of me being in God's love and presence and the love and presence of a community of faith. I never had this big wardrobe, Madonna wardrobe change in my life. I've always felt called to be a follower of Jesus. I've always been surrounded with love and grace and mercy. Never had this huge change, but perhaps you have. I've met people and talked with people who have gone off to camp or gone off to school or something like that, and they've come back and there's just something different about them. When we answer Jesus' call, when we listen to his words and we go to the places that he sends us and we experience the things that he's asked us to experience, when we come back, something is different about us. And it's often to the point where people don't even recognize who we are anymore. It's a scary thing. But here it is. The man comes back, and the people don't even recognize him. To be fair, if you can all of a sudden see, that I would have a hard time believing it was you too. But here he is. And now this is where we get into the real meat of the story. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. It's like the number one rule, honor the Sabbath, right? Remember all the other stories of Jesus getting in trouble for healing on the Sabbath. But the Pharisees also began to ask the man how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and then I washed, and now I see." It's pretty straightforward. You start telling the same story over and over again, you get tired of saying it. If you've had kids, you know what I mean. Put the dish in the dishwasher. Put the dish in the dish. The dish in the dishwasher. Oh my gosh. No, the cup has to go upside down. Man, turn the clothes inside out. I'm getting distracted. When you have to tell the same story over and over again, you get a little less patient. You start running out of patience. Here is this guy. He's had this incredible thing happen to him. He's been blind his entire life. He's met Jesus, been sent out, comes back able to see. This is the most incredible thing that's ever happened to him and probably to anybody in the entire town. And they're questioning him. You're not even the same guy. That can't be you. What happened? Where's the guy that did this? This should be a celebration. And he's got to tell the story over and over again. He put mud on my eyes and he washed and now I can see. But some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." And that's where the real issue is. They're so upset with Jesus, so looking for a reason to get rid of him, that they find this pretty small thing, honestly, and make a big deal out of it. But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. There's a debate. Can you imagine debating over Jesus, whether or not Jesus is a sinner or a special person sent from God? So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And the man said, "He's a prophet." But the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they came. And so they called the parents of the man who had received the sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he see?" So certain that this miracle could not have happened, they start this whole trial. They bring in the man who was blind and can now see. Instead of celebrating with him and being happy, they call him and put him in front. I told the Sunday school class I get to go to court for the first time because I neglected to redo my car registration. I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to feel like this blind man. I don't know what to do. There's a lot of authority and power in this room. What am I supposed to do? I have to pull my good suit out. So this man, instead of celebrating, they pull him into this court. They set him down in front of all of these religious leaders, and they ask him over and over again what has happened, and they still don't believe him. So they call in his parents. They pull his parents into the court, and they ask him, "Is this your son that you say was born blind? How is it that he can see now?" And his parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, yes. But we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes." And then this is the most parenty thing ever. "Ask him, he's of age. He can speak for himself. That boy got himself into trouble, you're going to have to go talk to him. My dinner's on the stove. Leave us alone." Now, John gives us a reasoning why we might feel like we can, as bad parents, they should care more. But John says his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So let's go back to these religious leaders. They're so certain. They're so upset with Jesus. Not only do they not celebrate this incredible miracle that Jesus has done, not only do they drag this man and his family into court and to have this deep conversation with him, they've threatened the entire group of people. An entire group of people will throw you out of the synagogue, will cut you off from God's presence in your life if you say anything positive about this Jesus. Mm-mm. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And they said to him, "What did he do to you?" Boy, this guy's got to be at the end of his rope. And so, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And the man answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Ooh, that's a good dig. You keep asking about this. Is there a reason? You want to follow this guy too? How many times do I have to tell you what happened? He spit on the ground, made mud, put it in my eyes, sent me to the pool, and I came back and I could see. Come on now. What? How's it? Methinks the doth protest too much? Is that what it is? Apparently, these Pharisees are protesting a bit too much. Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." We've got God on our side. We follow Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. Don't you try to degrade us. And then the man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." This makes a lot of sense. This is an astounding thing that has happened. My eyes have been opened. I once was blind, and here now I can see. The man that did it has got to be somebody special, has got to be from God. If not, he would not have been able to do this. Pay attention. But they answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Their certainty and their hatred of this entire situation is deafening. It's overwhelming. Not only are they unable to see this miracle, to celebrate this miracle, not only do they put this man and his family and the entire town through so much grief, when they're faced with the facts, they're given evidence, they're unable to see it. When someone opens and speaks the truth, this man opens his mouth and he speaks, he tells them what's going on. And their certainty and their hatred is so deep that they're unable to listen and cast him out. Drive him out. And Jesus heard that they had driven him out. And when Jesus found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" So Jesus is back talking to the formerly blind man. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." His eyes are opened. He can see the world around him. Yes, sure. But that's not the real miracle, is it? He's able to see Jesus, to recognize Jesus. And all throughout the Gospel of John, seeing and believing and recognizing Jesus as the Messiah is the most important thing. The miracle in this story is not the man's physical eyes being opened, but his spiritual eyes and his ability to recognize who Jesus is. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this, and they said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now you know." I'm going to start again. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains. The man was born blind, and whatever sins he may have had, Jesus heals his physical blindness, and his spiritual self is made whole. The real miracle, his ability to see Jesus. And now these Pharisees arguing back and forth with Jesus. It's their spiritual blindness, their inability to see and recognize who Jesus is, that makes them full of sin, makes them unable to come to where Jesus is. You know, the beauty of stories is that we get to put ourselves in them, right? All of our great movies and books and everything, you want to put yourself in the story. We want to be the Luke Skywalkers. In great stories, you can put yourself in different places from time to time, right? Sometimes I want to be Luke Skywalker and save the universe. Other times I want to be Han Solo and be the rogue bounty hunter guy running away with the big furry dog. That'd be great. But as you get older, and I hesitate because I know I can't talk about being old in present company because y'all laugh at me. It's okay. As I get older, sometimes I want to be the Obi-Wan, the wise old sage. We can put ourselves in different places. I wonder if sometimes I have to put myself into the place of these Pharisees in this story. I wonder if I have to recognize that my spiritual blindness prevents me from seeing Jesus from time to time. On the one hand, I really can't feel like a Pharisee because I don't have this sort of certainty. And there are times where I want that certainty. I want to be able to say that I know the truth. There are times when I want to be able to say that. But what if I was like one of these Pharisees? They've got their scriptures. They know exactly where to point to say that Jesus is a sinner for healing on the Sabbath. I'm sure they have their scriptures to point out why someone was born blind who was sinful. These Pharisees have their passages of scripture. They have their certainty to be able to stand in front of Jesus and in front of this man and know exactly who the sinner is. And in doing so, in their certainty and their hatred and their willingness to call someone else a sinner, it's clear that their hearts and their minds are blind. They're unable to see who Jesus is. And so I've got to take seriously whether or not maybe I'm the Pharisee from time to time. Does my certainty get in the way of being able to see Jesus? Maybe it's time for me to, I'm not actually going to put mud on my eyes, I can't even say it. Maybe it's time for me to seek out Jesus for the healing of that blindness, to be sent out, to come back a changed person, to recognize Jesus and to recognize others around me. Amen.